Good morning. I'm Ron Olson, and I want to welcome you here today to celebrate our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I'm excited to be with you. But today is actually a special day that we have set aside to celebrate our mothers. Today is Mother's Day, and this official holiday has been around for over 100 years, and it began with a lady named Anna Jarvis, who simply wanted to honor her mother. And I'm very thankful for my mother, although I was not always as appreciative and kind to my mother as I should have been, especially in those younger days. I love her dearly, and I realize how fortunate that I am to have a loving and caring mother that raised me. You know, mother is something everyone has in common. We all have or had a mother. However, I'm certain that for some of you, this might bring up mixed emotions or even bad feelings, perhaps because of the absence of your mother growing up or a strained relationship with her. You know, nevertheless, I want to honor my mother today. And I encourage you who are listening to honor your mother as well because of their service, their devotion, their love, but also because God commands us to do so. You know, it says in the scripture to honor your father and mother. It is one of the Ten Commandments given to Moses by God on Mount Sinai. And the scripture can be found in the book of Exodus in the Old Testament of the Bible. But this command is also emphasized in the New Testament by Paul in his letter to the church at Ephesus. You know, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 3 says this: "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, because this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may have a long life in the land." You know, this is much more than just an American holiday tradition where we send our mother a nice card or take her out to eat at some fancy restaurant. It is a command that we ought to obey. So what does it mean to honor our mother, or anyone for that matter? Now, the Old Testament meaning of honor comes from the Hebrew word kabod, which means heavy or weighty. When we honor our mothers or fathers, we are giving weight to or granting that person a position, respect, and even authority in one's life. In the context of the command given to Moses to honor our parents, it means to prize highly, care for, show respect for, and obey. Now, I believe the reason that God gave this commandment to Moses and to us is to teach us as children how to honor God through honoring our parents. You know, when Jesus was a boy, just 12 years old, he was in Jerusalem with his family for one of the festivals. And he was left behind unaware by his parents as they left for home. And when they discovered that he was missing, they looked for him for 3 days and finally found him in the temple. And his parents, Mary and Joseph, asked him why he treated them this way. And his response was, "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" And then it says that he went with them and was obedient to them. See, Jesus honored his parents on earth as he grew up. And he honored his father in heaven by being in this presence at the temple. You know, later on, we would see the zeal of Jesus for his father's house as he clears the temple of the money changers and those selling animals. He said it should be a house of prayer, not a den of thieves. Now, Jesus considered it a place of respect and honor to God because it was where God was present. Jesus also honored God every day as he spent much of his time in prayer. Prayer is not just speaking elegant words, but it's being in the presence of God. You know, the message series that we have been sharing with you these past few weeks has been on prayer. And it's not just any kind of prayer, but prayers that cause us to step outside of our comfort zone. Dangerous prayers that will lead us into a deeper faith in Christ. So what does it mean to pray dangerous prayers? You know, prayers that expect some result in action, prayers that will change your life, prayers where we see the hand of God moving, like the prayers of Jesus that his disciples witnessed and saw results, is one of the reasons why they wanted Jesus to teach them how to pray. Now, we've been examining what we call the Lord's Prayer, found both in the Gospel of Matthew and Luke. And some have said that this prayer should be called the Disciples' Prayer because it was a model on how they should pray. It's a model on how we should pray as well. Now, this model prayer that Jesus taught his disciples begins with honoring the name of our Father in heaven. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 13 says this, "Therefore, you should pray like this, Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." This morning, I would like to focus on a particular part of this prayer, which says, "Give us today our daily bread." Now, this part of the prayer is where most people focus their time in our culture today, because we are a give-me kind of people. We have so much, and we want more. So I caution you about your motives when you pray this prayer. Now, first of all, we should know that this part of the prayer is a request. Give us. You know, this is not a demand from God, but a humble request as we honor God in obedience and in respect and in submission. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7 says, "Don't worry about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, presenting your request to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Jesus says, "Give us, not give me." You see, this is a collective kind of prayer. The Jewish people, unlike our culture, which values the individual, was more of a collective culture, which stressed sharing the burden of care with the group as a whole. So this request should go beyond just ourselves. Asking God to give is an acknowledgement that we have a need that only He can fulfill. It's an acceptance of the fact that we cannot sustain our life without Him, and that we cannot do this on our own. It's an admission of dependence on Him for the things that we need, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. You know, the result of such request or prayer, according to Paul, results in the peace of God in your life. And it will guard your heart and your mind against fear and doubt and worry. It will give you the calm assurance that God will provide all that you need when you give your worries over to Him. Now, some of you may think that you don't deserve anything from God, that you are not worthy enough to receive God's gifts. Or some of you are just too proud to accept anything from God or anybody. Either way, you are missing the point of the relationship with God. See, He's our Heavenly Father. And a father and a mother is the one who provides for their children, right? If you have children or grandchildren, you know what it means to give and the joy that you receive from giving. Matthew chapter 7, verse 11 says this, "If you, then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask Him?" Now, Jesus says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open." The second thing that we should know is this request is for today, not tomorrow or next year. The prayer is, give us today. This is about trust in God and obedience to his word. Matthew chapter 6, verses 33 and 34 says this, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. When the Israelites were wandering in the wilderness after leaving Egypt under the leadership of Moses, the people began to complain about the shortage of food. And God supplied their need by giving them manna from heaven. And when they saw the manna, they said, what is it? Or in ancient Hebrew, man who? And the name stuck. The people were instructed by God through Moses to only gather what they needed for that day, except on Friday, when they should gather for 2 days because there would be no manna on the Sabbath. Those who gathered more than they needed found that it spoiled on the next day. See, God was supplying the Hebrew people their need for on a daily basis so that they would trust him and obey his word. However, there are those who do not listen, and that has not changed much today. See, there were those who do not want to obey God's word. They simply just don't want to trust in his provision. And see, there were some of the Israelites who did not gather enough on Friday, and they went out to gather on the Sabbath, and they did not find any manna. See, they were being disobedient to God's word. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8 says, and God is able to make every grace overflow to you, so that in every way, always having everything you need, you may excel in every good work. Now, some people worry about what they need and about tomorrow to no avail, and others ignore God's word altogether. See, God's desire is that we pray in faith that he will supply our need for today. Now, the third thing to know is that this request is about our needs. Give us today our daily bread. Our daily bread. Bread or manna is representative of our needs to sustain life for that day or even the moment. See, food, water, and air are all the necessities of physical life. However, this prayer is more than just for our physical necessities in life. You know, one of the truths that people seem to forget is that our essence is not physical, but spiritual. We are not a body that has a soul. We are a spiritual soul that has a body. The body will die someday, but we will continue to exist and live on. So our needs are as much or more emotional and spiritual in nature than they are physical. See, God knows and understands more completely what we need than we could ever know ourselves. And he should, because God is our creator and he's our sustainer for life. And he's our Heavenly Father who desires for us to have abundant life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 says, and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And I believe that this means physically, emotionally, and spiritually. However, we tend to mostly pray for the physical needs and forget the more important aspects of our needs. Matthew chapter 16, verse 26 says this, for what will it benefit someone if he gains the whole world and yet loses his life? Or what will anyone give in exchange for his life? You know, the Greek word used for life in this passage for scripture is psuche, which is often translated as soul and means the very essence of one's life, but that which gives life to the body, which is the breath of God. It does not profit us to gain the wealth of this world or the physical things of this world and lose our life, our soul, does it? So What would be a good example of our daily bread? It would be the things that are essential for our daily life as a spiritual and emotional being. The first thing that I would mention is the Word of God. And when Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness of Judea by the devil, one of the temptations was bread to eat. See, Jesus had been in there for 40 days without food, and he was hungry. But Jesus said, "It is written, man must not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." You know, the Word of God is a necessity for spiritual life. The Word of God is more than just letters on a page. God's Word is life. John the Apostle writes in his gospel that the Word became flesh and lived among us. The second thing that I would mention is relationships. You know, physical relationships are important, as we have been made aware of in our isolation, but our spiritual relationship with God is essential for life. Jesus said that he is the bread of life. We need a relationship with Jesus to know and experience life with God. Finally, I would mention hope, because living without hope is not living at all. Ephesians 1:18 says, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the wealth of his glorious inheritance in the saints." When we pray a dangerous prayer, we should pray with assurance of those things that we know and pray with submission those things that we don't know. What do I mean by this? Well, there are certain things that we know to be true. That is God's revealed will for our life. That is found in Scripture. Such things as our behavior and our actions towards others. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is good, pleasing, and perfect will of God." It is God's will that we should not be like this world, but be transformed into the likeness of Christ. So when we pray to God and ask him to help us to be like Christ, we can pray with a holy assurance and confidence that he will answer our prayer. You know, there are also things that we don't know for sure, and we need to pray with a humble heart in submission to God. James chapter 4, verse 13 through 15 says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will travel to such and such a city and spend a year there and do business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring, what your life will be. For you are like a vapor that appears for a little while, then vanishes it. Instead, you should say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that." You know, to illustrate this important biblical principle on how we should pray with confidence as well as with humility, I want to tell you a story. 5 years ago, on this very day, on Mother's Day, I was called to be the pastor of Arvada Church of God, which is one of the churches that merged about 6 months ago to form Altitude Church. But my journey began about 2 or 3 years earlier, when God placed upon my heart to pray for this church. Even though I did not attend Arvada Church of God, I did not know the pastor, and I did not know most of the people in the church. And those that I did know, I hadn't talked to them in maybe over 25 years. What I did know is that God wanted me to pray for the church. So I did. But honestly, for a time, I almost gave up, not knowing why I was praying. Then in September of 2014, Renee and I was attending a wedding of some of our friends. And at the wedding, I was talking with one of the elders of the church that we were attending at the time. He asked me if I knew that the pastor at Arvada Church God had left. And God gave me a word right then, meaning that God spoke to me, and he said to me, "Don't hesitate." You know, the next day, which was Sunday. I dropped Renee off at the church and headed to Arvada Church of God. I did not hesitate, but I responded to God's word. You know, after the service was over, I spoke with the board chairman, Dale Feller, which incidentally is still on our board today, and told him that I believe God wanted me to help out in this church. You know, at the time, I really didn't think that God wanted me to be the pastor of the church. But about 7 months later, I was appointed to be their pastor on May 10th, 2015. That was my first official Sunday. Now, there was a lot of things that happened in those 7 months before I began as pastor, mostly God preparing my heart to lead. But I believe that there was a reason that God called me to this church. I had no doubt about that. But I just didn't know exactly what that was at the time. Now, the reason I believe now was to help begin a new work in the Arvada area. And it's called Altitude Church. And it began with a prayer for me, praying with assurance on the things that I knew to be true, and with submission on the things that I did not know. These last couple of years, I've been praying for God to send us someone who could lead us beyond what I felt I could do as a pastor. And God led me to Pastor Lee. Or actually, it was God led Pastor Lee to me. You know, in hindsight, it's easy to see God's plan and purpose. But it takes faith and trusting God on a daily basis that He will supply our needs. Praying with assurance of those things that you know to be God's will, and praying with submission those things you cannot see or know. Now, if you have any needs in your life today, ask God and He will give you what you need. And I'm confident of that. God's desire is to give you what you need in your life today. But the main desire and the overall plan that God has for you is a personal relationship with you. That's what He desires. 1 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 1 through 4 says this. The Apostle Paul is writing to the young Timothy. He says, "First of all, then, I urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good, and it pleases God our Savior, who wants," this is very important right here, "who wants everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." See, God wants everyone to be saved. That's His desire, to have a relationship with them. Now, if you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord, I'm inviting you to accept Jesus into your life today. This is what it means to be saved and to know the truth. To say yes to Jesus and to ask Him to take control of your life. Romans 10, verses 9 through 10 says, "If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. One believes with the heart, resulting in righteousness, and one confesses with the mouth, resulting in salvation." You know, confessing with your mouth is just a simple prayer for forgiveness of your sin. You know, the main sin that we have in our life is the rejection of God. And He wants us to repent of that sin. He wants us to come to Him. Now, if you desire to know more or just want to talk about this, you know, I want you to contact me personally at ron@altitude.church. You know, just send me an email. I would be glad to reach out to you, have a conversation, or pray with you. Now, if you do have a relationship with Jesus and want to begin a more dangerous prayer life, then I invite you to join us in prayer. We are using the prayer circles to help us focus on our prayers. You can find the prayer circles on Altitude's Facebook page. What we are asking is that you pick a circle that represents a connection or a relationship that is connected to your life and pray that day. And the next day you pick another circle. ask at least one bold prayer for that person or group that you are praying for and believe that God will answer the prayer. Now, I want to thank you for your time today, joining us as in this message. And I want you to remember to honor God and honor your mother today. Would you join me in prayer? Father God, we are very thankful that you are a God of grace, a God that wants to give good gifts to us. And we pray that you would help us to become more like you, more like Christ. I pray that if there's anyone here that is struggling and has a need, that you would reach out to them, you would touch their lives. Father, we're so thankful that we can gather and together and worship and honor you. And Father, we give you honor and praise and glory for who you are and for your Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray this in thy name. Amen. God bless you. Amen.
Dear Lord, we pray for you. Pray for Mommy and Daddy and Avery and me. Amen.